Hey, good morning to you all. I want to thank you for your presence today. This space will be focused on presenting the financial results for Grupo Argos at the end of the second quarter 2021. Sorry, we'll have Q&A session at the end. We have Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Prado, Vice President of Strategies and Corporate Finances for Grupo Argos, Rafael Rivera, Vice President of Talents and Corporate Matters of Grupo Argos, Mauricio Osa, President of Audienza, Maria Clara Aristizabal, Manager for the Urban Development Business, Pablo Arroyo, Vice President for Corporate Finances in Audienza, and Lina Hurtado, Lead Manager for PACT. Yeah, this teleconference has been translated into English simultaneously. I also want to remind you that in our website, we have all the quarter information together with the presentation that will be following your teleconference. To download it, you can access the financial information menu and afterwards to the report section. I want to invite you to move on to slide number 3 in order to start this teleconference, and I'm going to give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia. Good morning for everyone. Welcome. I want to thank you all for being with us in this teleconference in order to share with you those fruitful results that we've had for second quarter 2021. I wanted to begin making a brief summary of the efforts done by the business group in order to drive the reactivation economic process, protecting the life of our collaborators, which is a priority since the beginning of this pandemic, but also protecting those people that are part of our value chain. Without no doubt, the effort that we've done during this last weeks, with the support of Andy and through the programs offered by the national government, allow us to contribute with a vision of optimism and hope in order to advance the economic recovery and keep mobilizing the economy. I'm proud to inform you all that today, close to 8,000 collaborators that belong to our organization in Colombia have at least one dosage of the vaccine, which corresponds to 86% of the country's population, including those that are benefited by initiatives driven by the company, and also by the national vaccination plan led by the national government. The number of applied doses reaches 10,400 people in the 18 geographies where we are present, and 79% of the total population belonging to the business group. In addition, this benefit is being extended to more than 3,600 collaborators and contractors in our cement, energy, and concession businesses. Our vaccination plan has allowed us to advance in each one of our businesses, which, summed with the joint effort of all our human team, which for more than 1 year has been able to optimize and make our operations more efficient in a challenging environment, allows us to present results that prove a new recovery cycle in which we closed a quarter with important growth in terms of profit. During this call, we'll drill down into the financial results, but I'd like to say since now that the benefits of the operation lever of the business group for the second quarter this year is clearly reflected in an EBITDA of 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos, with a growth of two digits compared with results from 2020 and 2019, net profit of 392 billion Colombian pesos for the period, growing more than 400% compared to the growth we had in 2020, and growing 63% if we compare this with 2019. Even when we exclude the extraordinary profits, non-recurring businesses such as the disinvestment in the Dallas concrete business. In terms of indebtedness, we closed June with an optimized capital structure thanks to a reduction of more than 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos in the consolidated indebtedness, which gives us a larger financial flexibility and allowed us to drive, besides that, a reduction in the financial expenses close to a 20% if we compare this year after year. Now I want to invite you to go over the cement and business results. In June, we were able to close the sale of 24 concrete plants in Dallas. We sold them to CRM Concrete for more than 184 $1 million after complying with the pacted conditions and given that there was no objections from the United States regulator. The resources generated by this disinvestment allowed it to accelerate the deleveraging process of the company and capturing value from a set of assets that were not integrated to a cement supply network due to its distance and transportation costs to the port of the company that's located in the city of Houston. This disinvestment, joined with the operational efforts to maximize the cash operations, led to the goal that we had in terms of indebtedness reduction that went from 7.8 trillion in June 2020 to 6.3 trillion in June 2021. This 20% reduction is equal to more than 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos paid the last 12 months, which clearly improves the competitive position of the company, reduces the interest payments, directs the cash generation in order to generate value, and accelerates the goal that we had initially set for December 2021, where we wanted to reduce the net debt indicator over EBITDA to 3.1 times. Under this same line, the company keeps on innovating in efficient financing mechanisms aligned to the vision that we have in our business group. Because of this, in June, we closed a new credit tied to ASG indicators for 135 billion Colombian pesos, which will allow Cementos Argos to reduce in 0.5% the interest rate in the case that we reach the goals and conditions that we have previously agreed. Additionally, during the second quarter of this year, we started the operation of kiln number 3, which in Cartagena, which will allow an additional production of 360,000 tons per year in order to strengthen the exports towards the United States, Central America, and the Caribbean. CAPEX for the reactivation of this line reached 13 billion Colombian pesos, which is equal to less than $10 per ton, while the development of the last greenfield projects in the region has been around $350 and $400 per ton. This means that this is an additional capacity at a very low reactivation cost. The increase in our export capacity in Colombia, besides the install capacity we have in the United States, makes us a relevant actor in order to attend the growing demand of cement of that region, which received a drive in these last days, given the infrastructure plan that has been approved by the Senate and that corresponds to a federal investment, actually one of the most important federal investments in terms of roads, bridges, and railways in decades. According to the analysts, this project will require 30 and 40 million tons of cement distributed in the next years that will reach close to 100 million tons per year. Moving on to the operational plane, Cementos Argos presented a growth of 42% in the cement volume compared to the second quarter 2020, and a 9% if we compare this with the same period 2019, where we yet had no effect due to the pandemic. Through this year, the sales volume has continued in a growing path in which the increases in the United States, Central America, and the Caribbean during the second quarter compensated and increased the effects of those dispatches in Colombia due to the national strike. The good dynamic in terms of volumes together with the price stability has translated into a revenue increase of 16% and an increase of 26% in terms of EBITDA when we eliminate the positive effect that generated the Dallas disinvestment in the results. The largest growth in EBITDA shows the operational efficiency of the company, which allowed us to close the first quarter with an EBITDA margin, an adjusted EBITDA margin close to 20.2%. I wanted to highlight that this is the highest margin that we have recorded in the last 8 years of operations in the company. Now I want to invite you to check the energy business in the upcoming slide. During the quarter, We saw with optimism the results in terms of distribution and commercialization. We keep advancement with relevant investments and focused in the experience of our customers and clients. Only the department of Tolima, the investments allowed us to reduce the service interruptions during the first quarter in a 35% in terms of its frequency and 13% in terms of its length compared with the same period last year. Year in which we acquired the Enel Tolima assets. In addition, the discipline in the portfolio management and the good quality of the service were translated into a collection for the whole operation of a 98%. This is an even more important milestone if we bear in mind the impacts of the national strike and those in Valle del Cauca. That's a region where the company operates. In energy generation, we want to highlight the advancement in the thermoelectric project construction, El Tesorito, that counts with an execution higher than a 50% and could start its operations in March next year. In addition, we ended the construction of the Celsia plant, La Paila, a project with a generation capacity of 9.9 megawatts that will supply the energy consumption of the industrial plant of Colombina, located in Valle del Cauca. And we advanced in the construction of the solar projects, Prudencia, also of 9.9 megawatts, which is located in Dos Mares, Chiriquí, Panama, that will start its operation in the upcoming weeks. At an operational level, during the quarter, we recorded a growth of 39% year after year in the generation and an 11% in commercialization. These results prove the resiliency that Celsia has and the power of its portfolio. It's also important to highlight that the average price on the stock market of the energy during the quarter was of 118 pesos kilowatt hour, which represents a reduction of 62% compared with the same period last year, which is a clear reflection of the larger water contributions of this period, as well as the level of the reservoirs. This a good operational performance and Celsius strategy in terms of contracting great part of its generated energy, fought back against the price reduction of energy in order to close the quarter with revenues of 940 billion Colombian pesos that grew 5% compared with the same period last year. EBITDA closed to 313 billion Colombian pesos, in line with that figure that we reached in the second quarter 2020, but that grows 5% year after year if we eliminate the effect it generated on that year, the option, the purchase option of energy that we had in terms of forest transaction, and it's a revenue more related to the disinvestment than to the operation. Now, I want to invite you to go over the results of the concession, of the road concession business. In road concession and airport, road and airport concession, Odinza closed the quarter with a frank recovery. During the period, Fitch ratified a double A minus rating for the company, bearing in mind its positive perspective of cash flow generation leveraged in a balanced portfolio. The same perspective was evidenced at an asset level with the refinancing of the debt in American dollars for the Pacifico 2 project, which will allow the concession to access a lower interest rate, product of a lower asset risk that's finalizing or almost already ended its construction phase and starting its operation and maintenance phase. During the quarter, Odinza maintained the growth trend in terms of revenue and EBITDA that has been recorded last year that obeys to the growth in vehicle and passenger traffic in the airports. Revenues closed in 234 billion Colombian pesos, and the EBITDA closed in 137 billion Colombian pesos, with an increase of 55 and 49% respectively, compared with the same period last year, when the confinement measures due to COVID-19 were significantly more strict. When we compare the results of this quarter with the same period 2019 in order to eliminate the base effect of 2020, we also see a growth of 17% in terms of revenues and a 4% growth in terms of EBITDA, which confirms the immense operational and efficiency effort that has been driven by the business. Currently, all the roads operated by Odinza are operated in normal conditions with a traffic that exceeds the previous records we had before the pandemic and that in June reached 117 vehicles average day. Here, we want to highlight the performance of Túnel de Oriente, which depends in great measure between the traffic of the traffic between Medellín and the international José María Córdova Airport that has not yet recovered fully, that recorded an operation level of 29,000 vehicles per day on June. I wanted to mention that in certain days, we've reached 32,000 vehicles per day. The airport segment closed June with 2.1 million mobilized passenger. This is a behavior that exceeds the recovery forecast that we had, but still represents a reduction of 37% compared with June 2019, meaning by this to the pre-pandemic period. In order to have a reference, the expectation from the Air Transportation National Association, IATA, was that the traffic of the airport segment will keep itself in 60% under the pre-COVID level up to the end of 2021, and this expectation has already been exceeded in the Odinza's airports. Moving on to the real estate business on slide 11, we wanted to highlight that the net cash flow was increased in 91% compared with second quarter 2020, and more than 100% in what has this year. Even considering the execution of those works that we're developing in Barú, we have a positive flow. This means that during the quarter, the business paid the totality of its expenses and costs, including property taxes that are paid in an anticipated manner. In respect to the sales revenues recorded on the P&L, this quarter we transferred five lots in Barranquilla for this under the macro project Ribera de Mallorquín, which represents an increase of 781%. We also want to highlight that in 2020, we registered the appraisal of this land lots, contributing to the EBITDA of the second quarter last year, a total of 24 billion Colombian pesos. This means that the profit of this transaction was mainly recorded last year, but even though this happened, we have an EBITDA increase of 4% this year. Additionally, in July, we reached the first point of equilibrium for the first stage of the Casablanca houses, parting point for the effective revenue in terms of the contributions we had for this project. We want to highlight the good results in the cash flow, the materialization of the Mallorquín, Interior de Mallorquín project into the P&L, the beginning of the compliance of the agreements in the Barú, with the Barú communities, the employment generation due to the works, the high levels in Barranquilla, and the reactivation of tourism lead us to be optimistic towards the next months. Now, I want to invite you to check on the next slide the results of the real estate rental business. Effective gross revenue was of 81 billion Colombian pesos, growing a 43% year after year, and the EBITDA for the quarter was 36 billion Colombian pesos, with an increase of 71% year after year. It's also important to highlight the fund administration during this month. So for this year, we renewed close to 93 thousand square meters, and we commercialized in terms of rentals and sales close to 146,000 square meters. As a result of these efforts, the portfolio occupation, without including hotels, closed in 91% for this quarter. And when we include hotels that have a lower occupation today, the result is of 88%. From this occupation, we want to highlight the first multifamily housing asset known as 850 Living in Miami, which reached an occupation of 92% in its first semester of operations, 9 months before forecasted. The fundamentals in terms of occupation and transits for shopping malls have been improving with the elimination of the mobility constraints in the country. For the first semester, traffic and sales grew 47 and 33% respectively compared with the same period last year. Finally, the fund keeps seeking opportunities where we could recycle capital due to the sale of non-strategic assets or mature assets. And at the end of June 2021, we have insured more than 48 billion Colombian pesos of this investment, close to a margin of 4%. Now, I want to invite you to go over the consolidated results of Grupo Argos. This is found on slide number 14, where we can see the aggregated effect and the positive performance of our businesses the first quarter. Revenues reached 4 trillion Colombian pesos during this period and 7.8 trillion Colombian pesos in the year's accrual, which represents an increase of 11% compared with the first quarter 2020 and a 2% compared with period 2019. The higher sales level was translated into an increase of EBITDA that closed in 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos during this quarter and 2.3 trillion this year, even eliminating the Fed out of the Dallas Concrete operation disinvestment. Operational results grow in comparison with 2020 and also compared with 2019. Net profit of the period increased even more thanks to the operational performance that the business had, and simultaneously to the financial interest reduction closing the semester in 583 billion Colombian pesos, figure that's almost equal four times the net profit that we registered in 2020. The net profit for the controller closed in 285 billion Colombian pesos, exceeding the loss that we had the previous year. On slide 15, we could see the variation quarter by quarter, seeing how the main business lines of Grupo Argos significantly improved year after year. We want to highlight cement business with an additional contribution of 347 billion Colombian pesos in terms of revenues, the concession business with 180 billion Colombian pesos, and the energy business with 46 billion Colombian pesos, starting with a higher comparative base in terms of stability for the second quarter 2020. When we analyze the EBITDA contribution by business on the slide that you'll find on slide 16, we want to highlight the important growth presented by Cementos Argos that leverages the year-after-year growth of 27%. This business, even eliminating the contribution of the Dallas disinvestments, generated an additional EBITDA of 109 billion Colombian pesos during this quarter. In terms of consolidated expenses, we see an increase of 25 billion Colombian pesos that are equal to 6% year after year, and that the company had budgeted in order to respond to the demand growth. And so meaning by this, many of these expenses are directly related with the volumes that we've had in sales, in cement sales. This efficiency is reflected when we compare this with the pro forma EBITDA that grew 238 billion Colombian pesos. This means 10 times more than the expense increase, which confirms the drive of the operational lever, which allows increasing the EBITDA in a higher proportion than the revenue. We also want to highlight that one of the main catalyzers for the profit growth during the period was the reduction of the indebtedness. Now I want to invite you to move on to slide 18 in order to understand this behavior. The effort in order to optimize the capital structure and achieve a more lightweight operation is proven in the amortization of 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos in the consolidated leveraging of the organization. In terms of net debt, we closed the quarter with a balance of 15.9 trillion, over which we'll keep on working in order to reach even higher reductions. Financial expenses dropped 20% year after year thanks to the decrease of the leveraging of Cementos Argos, thanks also to the lower indexation rates and the strategies implemented by the treasury teams in order to keep offering financial flexibility to the organization. Now I want to invite you to go over the separate financial results, that as well as the consolidated financial results. We had significant growth compared with 2020 and 2019. The revenues for the second quarter closed in 219 billion Colombian pesos, EBITDA in 133 billion Colombian pesos, net profit in 115 billion Colombian pesos, which represents an increase of 171 billion Colombian pesos compared with the net loss that we had in the second quarter 2020. Moving on to the separate cash flow that you'll find on slide 22, we could see the implemented strategy in order to cover that temporal gap between the received dividends and the paid dividends. As we had announced in the market, Grupo Argos paid the totality of the dividends of the year to its shareholders in April, which, if it increased the cash outbounds for the second quarter, they will be reduced for the rest of the year. In order to make this payment, the company took a credit of 131 billion Colombian pesos that will be paid in the upcoming quarters. And the measure that the company receives the dividend flows coming from all its investments. In summary, even though that the result of the first semester is negative in terms of cash flow, in terms of operational cash flow, due to disparity between those paid dividends and received dividends during the second semester of this year, this behavior will turn due to the dividends that we'll be receiving, where I want to highlight the extraordinary dividend of 55 billion Colombian pesos that, if approved, Cementos Argos will pay to Grupo Argos in September. When we incorporate this credit that we have mentioned, separate debt for Grupo Argos, closed second quarter in 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos with expiry dates of 85% of the credits after 2023, which grants a larger financial flexibility to the company. The debt cost closed in 5.3% and the leveraging indicators closed in healthy levels, under those levels that we registered for June 2020. This strategy and the capital structure management by the company has been validated by Fitch in June, ratifying the AAA rating with a stable perspective for Grupo Argos. The rating company highlighted the financial flexibility of the organization thanks to its capacity of accessing alternative liquidity sources. This evaluation summed with the AA+ granted by S&P on May are a guarantee of the structural solidness that the company has. Now I want to invite you go over this chapter in terms of sustainability. As the result of a disciplined management in terms of sustainability, I wanted to highlight that El Dorado Airport became the first airport in the world that has been certified as LEED Platinum in the operation and the maintenance of existing buildings by the Green Building Council of the United States. This recognition is the highest in its type, and it's only granted to those constructions that comply with the highest standards in terms of energy efficiency, efficient water consumption, waste management, between other sustainability best practices. Finally, and in this chapter, I want to highlight that with total conviction and with the end of positively contributing to the main concerns that we have as a society, in the second quarter, we advanced in the implementation of our program, creating social value with initiatives in three cross-cutting lines: employment generation, strengthening of the entrepreneurial tissues, and the social impact towards the most vulnerable communities. In employment generation, we launched during April the Alliance for Employment for Youth and Women in more than 30 companies in Antioquia, which will allow us to generate 2,000 employees and will allow to connect 6,000 people with opportunities in employment, education, and training. In this front of strengthening entrepreneurial tissues, we launched a new benefit of confirming in order to offer a more flexible financial rates to more than 7,500 micro and small and middle-sized companies in Colombia that work as vendors for the business group and that employ more than 125,000 people. Finally, in terms of social impact, we drive the healthy housing program that in August will deliver improvements in floors, bathrooms and kitchens to more than 40 families in La Onda neighborhood in Medellin, and we'll do the same in June with more than 200 vulnerable families in the city. The goal of this program is to intervene close to 10,000 households in long terms. Price of the stock. After going the operation on financial results of this quarter, and after going the sustainability performance, I wanted to mention or make a reflection in terms of the behavior of the Grupo Argos Taxi, the Colombian Stock Exchange. As we've been saying, and from the vision we have as administrators, the price of our stock in the market is completely unlinked from the operational reality and from the fundamental value of this organization. Even separating ourselves from the fundamental value vision that comes from the need of cash generation from each one of our businesses, basing on the holding arbitrage results, so we do see a very important valuation potential or appraisal potential. In order to explain this reality, we constructed an arbitrage calculator that you can find in our menu, in the investors menu, where each one of you can incorporate your different variables in order to calculate your value and support your investment decisions. The performance of our businesses, the talent, and the capacity of our human team in terms of transcending and creating value for all our groups of interest, besides the structural solidness that the business group has proven in terms of integrating to the economic reactivation as a relevant player in the infrastructure sector of the region, fills us with optimism and hope in order to keep on transforming positively the lives of millions of people through investments and operations in the businesses that we participate. For December this year, we hope closing with consolidated revenues between 15.6 and 16.2 trillion Colombian pesos, a consolidated EBITDA between 4.2 and 4.5 trillion Colombian pesos, and a net profit of between 1 and 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos. We want to invite each one of those that listen to keep on trusting our country and to share this optimism that's based on the institutional solidness in the positive macroeconomic signals that we are identifying in the advancement of the vaccination plans in the region that are driving a reactivation process and a committed private sector in Colombia. committed to the social, environmental, and corporate governance fronts. With your trust, we'll keep on driving the private sector as an essential agent in the social value generation through employment opportunities, economy revitalization, and the construction of solutions that can contribute to improve the quality of life of billions of people. Thank you. And then I want to give the word now to Natalia so we could establish a dialogue and open the space for Q&A. Well, thank you, Jorge. I want to invite you to ask your questions through the Q&A widget. We could start with a question from Juliana Aguilar from Valores Bancolombia. She asks, she congratulates us for the results, and she asks about the airport business, Odinsa Opa, and if we could share with her how have been the advancements in the second negotiation table in order to compensate those non-received revenues due to the closure. Let me give the word to Mauricio. But just to give you a context, let's remember that there was a first negotiation round where we established the compensation or the non-regulated and regulated revenues that we then received between March and end of September, October of the previous year. This agreement was translated in a time extension that's binding between both parties. And we established the possibility of generating further negotiation rounds in order to analyze the growth of traffic and going into a compensation due to the same concepts. But I want to give the word to Mauricio, who's with us in Bogota. Maybe he could give us a better context in terms of this advancement. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Warm greeting for you all. Effectively, as Jorge Mario was mentioning, on the first negotiation round, we established that there was going to be additional negotiation rounds. Those rounds have been installed. They're installed for each one of the airports in the country. Opain is the one that has advanced the most. And its purpose is to reevaluate the revenue composition. It's three main components: national passengers, revenues coming from national passengers, international passengers, and the non-regulated revenue. Right now, we are jointly developing with ANI the legal framework within the MOU that we've signed last year that allowed the first recomposition in order to establish this recomposition, and that will be in months, as it was the first time. It's our expectation that during the first quarter, we will wrap up this agreement due to the reestablishment of this. Having said this, the national traffic is reaching 75% of the pre-pandemic level. Speaking about the data we had in 2019, well, 2019 was a pretty good year in terms of traffic. And in terms of non-regulated revenue, this is in levels around to a 70%. And the international traffic is around a 50%. This one's going a bit slower, particularly due to the conditions, health conditions, or bio safety conditions established by Europe. So with this on the table, we're seeking for a recomposition that will have as a range of analysis October 2020 up to July 2021, including July 2021. Well, thank you, Mauricio. Rodrigo Sanchez from Davivienda asks if we consider, if we don't have an extraordinary dividend coming from Cementos Argos Group, will reach 9 billion Colombian pesos of primary superávit for 2021 that we had announced a couple of months ago. And aligned with this question, if we could maybe detail the sources and uses incorporated in this extraordinary level. Let me give the word to Alejandro so he could give you the detail of the cash flow and the different scenarios that we have established. Well, thank you, Jorge. Well, basically, within our estimation, in terms of revenues for the group, the estimated levels that we have are 531 billion Colombian pesos. There's something that's important here is that from those 531 billion Colombian pesos, dividends are 415 billion Colombian pesos, and the urban development business is close in terms of flow of 115 billion Colombian pesos approximately. From this, 450 billion Colombian pesos, as it was mentioned by Jorge, the extraordinary dividend is higher than 50 billion Colombian pesos. But in a certain way, if this would be received, this is something that will be compensated, product of the urban development business, that we estimate that number could be even higher. Is something that could be compensated. And there's another element that's very important, and that is the reduction that we've had in terms of financial expenses. But nevertheless, if you analyze this in terms of the operational expenses that we have, in those operational expenses, we could be under that number. The urban development expenses are around 160 billion Colombian pesos. So that the difference between both could be about 400 billion Colombian pesos, a positive 400 billion Colombian pesos. We also have property tax taxation that 38 billion Colombian pesos. The dividend that was paid by mentioned by Jorge Mario. Actually, this dividend also covers the first quarter 2021. In terms that we had to anticipate those four payments that we usually do that are 258 billion Colombian pesos and some net revenues close to 81 billion Colombian pesos that, let me repeat once again, could even be lower to those that we had estimated at a certain moment. So in these terms, we could be saying that in general terms, the primary superabit could be around 20 billion Colombian pesos. So to summarize, if it's true in the case that we wouldn't receive this extraordinary dividend of 50 billion Colombian pesos, we have 3 days today to compensate. First, a higher revenue to the urban due to the urban development business. Second, in terms of expenses, budgeted expenses, we'll have less revenues. And the other thing that we're seeing based on that interest projection that we have a reduction in order to generate that superavit. With another very important thing that I want to highlight, that is that within the projections that we have, the leverage level of last year that was under 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, we keep with our budget that, and we'll be closing with the gross indebtedness of 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos with reduction goals close to 100 billion Colombian pesos. Very well. I wanted to use this question because this is a very important element that Alejandro mentioned. It's a better expectations in terms of cash flow that we're having in the business. And any of the three cases will give us lots of flexibility. To give the word to Maria Clara and for her to tell us a little bit about the revenue perspective for those businesses that have already been closed and the implication in terms of the revenues commitments in terms of cash that we have for the upcoming years. Because I believe this is very important because the real estate business, as you know, and as we've discussed in this call, have a very important difference between the cash flow and the P&L. It's a business that's much more read by the cash flow generation, and that cash flow is generated through time. And while we start the operations, there's a pipeline that guarantees this cash flow. So maybe, Clara, if you could speak about the project in your own terms. Of course, Jorge. Effectively, in this moment, we've assigned commitments, contractual commitments, up to 320 billion Colombian pesos in terms of cash disbursements, including 2021, the upcoming years. Because as you were explaining, in the P&L, but we record our is this could might happen in the moment that we as the data we had 290 billion Colombian pesos of those contractual revenues. Now we have 320 billion, from which 115 billion Colombian pesos will be coming this year, and that was the figure that Alejandro was mentioning earlier. I would believe that that explains a little bit the difference between our cash flow. That's the element that we've insisted should be watched the most closely for the urban development business. And the P&L, we are expecting that for this year, in terms of revenue, we'll be receiving more than 220 billion Colombian pesos that correspond to all of those that I have already mentioned, more specifically for Ciudad Mallorquín project that we are launching a second phase. And in terms of cash flow, accrual could be accelerated in terms of the company would need so. And that would be a fourth income that we might have that could add to that primary support that we have that's very comfortable. Okay, so let me speak about capital structure and sourcing usage. Rodrigo also asks, what's the strategy of the holding considering the important proportion that we have indexed in the IPC and the inflation dynamic, but also the expectations in terms of monetary cycle change in the country and in the world? And to take this opportunity, now that we're speaking about sources and usages, we're being asked that in terms of this kind of results that we're giving for 2021, in terms of estimations, when do we believe that Ordesa could pay dividends once again for our cash flow? Alejandro, the floor is yours. Well, yeah, this is a very, very valid question, and it goes as follows. Actually, not just in terms of Grupo Argos, but at a consolidated level, in the measure that the capital market is so important for us, and many of the indexation happens around the IPC, strategy that we're following is in two senses. First is that we constantly, within the group, are monitoring the IPC hedging dynamics in terms of fixed rates in order to ensure that in front of those expectations, so we could look for mechanisms where we could link that financial cost and fix it. But nevertheless, these types of hedges are not that efficient. It's a very expensive insurance. So what we've been doing, and actually we have the closest hedge, is having a fixed rate in IPC for Grupo Argos, fixed close to a 10% of our debt put to a 12%, a 12-month time period. So part of the indebtedness has been indexed to 12 months. Part of the reason, and something that you see in Colombia, is that the inflation pressures come more from supply than from the demand side. And many times those inflation cycles have increasing impacts, but after 12, 13, 14 months are rapidly corrected. So maybe sometimes hedging for so long is not as efficient in the measure that the hedging curve is not the cheapest in terms of costs. The other thing that's important that I would like to highlight that in front of the interest rate pressures, what the organizations within the business group have been working on together with all the financial vice presidents is making anticipation, expired dates anticipations in order to access better interest rates based on the market conditions. This is what we did last year, which allows us to have a tool not just for the bank credits, but also for the capital market, which actually we are performing follow-up right now. Perfect. We are asked by disinvestments of Grupo Argos if we have more projects for the rest of the year. And I'll link this to a question that which are the levers that we want to reach this 1.2 trillion and net profit, highest one in Grupo Argos. Let me start by the end. The levers, that we've had for guidance are moved by two drivers. First one is the continuation in terms of revenue, EBITDA, and profit increase coming from the cement business. In the cement business, it's very important effect in terms of temporality. That has to do with summer months in the United States. Cement consumption between July, August, September is the highest consumption seasonal wise within the country. That seasonality oscillates between a 5 and 9% from the annual mean. And there's also a very improvement. There's a very important growth in terms of improvement in the United States. For the third quarter, there's a very good perspective in terms of price increase for the cement business. So in the United States, a very good dynamic. And in Colombia and the Caribbean, for example, in Honduras, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic, we've been seeing growth of two digits in the volumes of stability and improvements. Besides this, as I mentioned before, we have the expansion of the exporting capacity of cement that will totalize more than 1.5 million tons this year. Those drivers joined with an improvement for the exchange rate are very important value elements in the estimations. The second driver has to do with the good expectation in terms of improvements of airport traffic, as it was mentioned earlier too. The traffic of El Dorado Airport and El Quito Airport have been positively reacting in the last months. The totality of mobilized passengers in the two airports totalized more than 2.1 million passengers. But just in June, in the Bogota Airport, closed over 2.2 million passengers, only that airport. So the trends are very positive. Quito Airport is also showing a positive trend, even with positive trends, so which is a very important signal. If you bear in mind that the results that we're showing, when we compare this with 2019, this have growth in revenue, EBITDA, net profit, but we also need to consider that today there's a very important effect in the airport business, and that's a very important element that Grupo Argos consolidates within its financial results. So I believe that we have positive expectations, energy demand growth, growth also in terms of real estate with Ribera Mallorquín. But the functional perspectives for the cement business and for the concession business in airports, plus the consolidation that we have been bringing with, are the elements that lead to these projections. And this is actually the first time we do this, but we believe that the capacity of the organization in terms of consolidating this result and having a better visibility of what's coming forward and drive us to work on this guideline. We have a question from Estefania Morquez from Credicorp. What effect has the prolongation of this? What's a break even in order for Opine to show profit? Alejandro, you want to cover this? Well, in terms of EBITDA, as we could see in the data that Jorge was showing, the current volume is a volume that allows Opine to generate EBITDA. Now, if we speak about net profit, at this moment, this is more than 2 million passengers that we are recording on a monthly basis. This was the data for July. it's not enough yet to have a break-even price or to have a net profit close to zero. There's still a briefly negative value in terms of net profit, but the answer depends on the passenger mix. With those 2 million passengers, if there were more international passengers, as historically we had in Opine, but due to actual constraints that don't allow passengers traveling to certain destinations from or to certain destinations, these 2 million are mainly represented by national passengers. So I would dare to say that in the measure that the constraints or the restrictions are lifted in terms of international travels, as we've seen in Quito, the airlines will start offering more seats in international flights, as we've seen in Quito. This 2 million passengers could even be enough in order to reach a break even. Now, if we keep on working with this mix of national, if we keep on working with this mix of national and international passengers, and I'm pretty sure that this will change, with a 10% more in terms of international passengers, we could be reaching this point of equilibrium in terms of net profit. And in terms of cash flow, in terms of operational cash flow, these 2 million passengers are enough. The cash problems, if Opine would have some, would be more specifically with specific payments due to its debt services. And that's when we need to review in terms of Opine, not just the monthly generation or the monthly consumption, but the reserve levels that we have that in this moment are acceptable. And because of this recent ratification of Opine from Fitch. And another additional comment in terms of the amortization of the due date extension. Further than what's the accounting effect? Yes, in terms of the COVID situation, the proactive policy that Grupo Argos followed was changing the straight line amortization and be a bit more conservative in that amortization, which led having higher amortizations. In the measure that we know that the traffic, passenger traffic, is higher than the initial budget. Second, in the measure that negotiations come to a fruitful result with ANI, we're able to make more adjustments towards amortizations that for Grupo Argos represented a lower amortization for this year. For example, close to 25 billion Colombian pesos. It's also worth mentioning that this is amortization. It affects the results of the net profit, but given that's an amortization, don't affect the EBITDA. In the group, there's some questions from Rodrigo Torres and Daniel Guardiola that has to do with the stock price. What strategies are we planning to execute in order to close this gap of the value of the stock? And what are the plans for the Chilean stock exchange? Okay, I could start by the second question. Effectively, as we mentioned, we see a disconnection between the fundamental value of our businesses with the value that the market's recognizing in our stock. There are several initiatives. And let me speak just about last one, to accessing the global market, given that dual listing that that the Chilean market allows, and due to an important consideration, and that is that market, more specifically in terms of retail, is close to 20% larger, is 1.2 times the Colombian market. The size of retail, considering it as family office or institutional, is larger than the Colombian market. And that's very important. Opportunity for the retail investor that could purchase this locally
accessing obviously all the norms of that destination country, in this case would be Chile, in terms of accounting and taxation effects. As you've seen, we've started to see, basically in the case of Falabella and the Bank of Chile, some operations of this global market going from Chile to Colombia. Team led by Natalia Juan Esteban is currently in the final stages, and we want to carry out a very important deployment on a visit and promotion and together with a second party that will help us lead to a higher liquidity. In the other initiatives, what I would say as a strategy is what we just saw, and that is the fundamental of the company is keep strengthening the efficiency and the cash generation and the cash flow for all the operational businesses of the company. And the measure that this has been showing a trend, as we've seen, we hope that the market will recognize within those flows a valuation opportunity, a very important valuation opportunity. So for the moment, I would just limit myself to mention about these two initiatives, repurchase and I could mention again what we've been speaking of. Repurchase has been approved. Effectively, as you might remember, we have an approval from the board in order to acquire 300 billion pesos in 3 years, that in a framework of 3 years, for 3 years. This is what we spoke of. But when we have situations such as the ones we faced in 2020, which led to the recommendation and being more prudent in our actions, is maintaining all the liquidity and reducing the leveraging of the company during that shock period till we have more visibility within the recovery of the results and the cash flows. That situation is the one that we're starting to see. But it was recommended for a company to just go into the airports in 2020, or where the stops of cement business in 2020 increased the indebtedness, making a reacquisition. So this is a feasible option. It's an option that we believe in. It's pending, and in the moment that the balance between visibility of cash flow, the strengthening of the results, and reduction of the leveraging that we've been consolidating will make this recommendable. We'll announce this to the market. When do we execute it? It's on the table. We are not considering that this is the right moment for it, but in a close by future, we will analyze it once again as an option of retributing our shareholders. Federico Suarez is asking, he says, given that the loss of investment rating in Colombian, what options do you have to finance the infrastructure at competitive costs? So, till what point the loss of this of our rating will affect our operations? Well, there's two paths that we might follow. This is a very interesting question. First, in terms of costs, contra costs and financing access, I believe that the market had discounted the loss of this investment rating. And as Alejandro mentioned, has lots of flexibility in terms of accessing different markets, bonds, debt, innovative mechanisms such as a debt swap. We've actually accessed the market in order to collect amounts higher than 1.3 billion Colombian pesos in 2020. And this year, several of our companies have access to these types of mechanisms. So from a financing perspective, we don't see a a direct impact in terms of degree of inversion loss or investment grade loss. For the products that we have today, they have been financed by the equity. And as we've expressed before, one of the strategies that we have been implementing that we could see in Celsia and that we've actually experimented in the concession business is the construction of platforms with strategic business partners that allows us to leverage this. So this is in the energy business. This is also for the solar and wind platforms for the energy businesses, and possibly this will be an alternative in order to expand the growth in the concession business. Yes, Pablo. Yes, you just compliment Federico's question in respect with infrastructure. Let's give you a specific example: a Pacifico 2 or Pacifico 2 that was commented during this call. 16th of July, there was a credit contract signed to refinance the obligations in U.S. dollars that were required for building the asset. 16th of July was after the downgrades both for S&P and then Fitch ratings for Colombia and the loss of the investment grade. But nevertheless, Pacifico Dos signed a credit contract that allowed for of more than 160 basic points for that indebtedness. Obviously, this has to do because we exited the construction phase. Risk is less, but this also ratifies that at least in that refinancing specifically, there wasn't an impact due to the loss of the investment grade in the financing cost for this asset. I would believe, because even though it's true that Colombia lost its investment grade, we should make a relative comparison. And what we see is that, relatively speaking, all the countries have had a deterioration in terms of credit grades or investment grades. So this gives us the ease that in terms of financing, we are as competitive. And maybe due to this experience of Pacifico 2, we see a good signal in terms that even though we lost the investment grade, this won't represent an obstacle for us to finance infrastructure projects. Well, thank you, Pablo. Yeah, I just wanted to compliment this with a question asked by Jairo Agudelo about the projects and the advancements that we have with Audiencia in terms of road concessions. I believe this is completely aligned with this answer. Yeah, well, I would like to give the word to Mauricio so we could speak a little bit about the news that we had yesterday about the reactivation of the Meta Road Grid project. Actually, Mauricio, this is the question, and maybe we could go over what was the achievement of in terms of courts in the consolidation we had with ANI, and what does this project implies, the road grid in El Meta. Well, thank you, Jorge Mario. As we've mentioned before with you all in previous moments, the Meta road grid, it's a private initiative that has been happening for some years now for a specific zone of the country. There are certain difficulties due to the crash of the flow, more specifically the oil flow. So this led to certain allegations in the court, understanding the situation, but looking for the best legal mechanisms that we had. So the courts ruled, saying that it was important to look for the viability of the project that was lost due to the drop in traffic and motivate both parties to reach an agreement. So parting from this, we started some work tables led by the controller's office, national controller's office, to look for mechanisms that would allow this make a physical contract. We actually found an agreement. There's a scope reduction an efficient scope reduction. So a new analysis and a new structuring that will allow the project, the closest zones to Vita Vicencio, keep the scope as we have, and part of the scope that's being suspended is temporarily suspended in order to reach a certain volume in traffic, and if these volumes are reached, there will be an option to finish the project. So in summary, we have a contract that is back again on that track of financial feasibility, is completely signed, and it's already completely legal. It has been supported by the control units that were present actually past yesterday. We also had the support of the ombudsmanship's offices and all the communities that will be impacted by the project. And we are glad to say that we have the project is very similar to the levels that we were mentioning. We won't have to do equity contributions in 2023 because what we will use first is the cash that has been retained, given that during this time the collection was made. Traffic is growing in two digits this year. It has already exceeded traffic 2019. It's a road close to reach more than 21,000 vehicles per day, which proves that the business case will be very positive. What's the potential that this has? All the agro-industrial development and there takes the traffic after the Bogotá-Villavicencio road and leads it to Puente Arimera zone and the Granada zone. This is a type of a Y. It will begin the work last week, August, not whole work, but two specific points. So we need to intervene before rainy season comes in order to ensure some contention works in order to protect certain communities. And before the end of the year, we will retake works that will take about 3 to 3 years and a half. So all the theses are complied. And as Jorge Mario mentioned, the equity will be up to 2023. And it's contemplated in the long-term cash flow of the company. And to say it in simpler words, we have a new project in the company in a strategic zone that has a strong traffic. Okay, we have no more questions. We want to thank you all for being connected and for being with us. Well, thank you all. I hope you have a nice day. And once again, Tim is here to answer any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have. Thank you for being with us. It's a pleasure sharing with you this good results and the positive perspective that we have towards the future. And once again, we are open to anything that you might need. Thank you all.